In the whole wide graveyard of this earth, there is one empty tomb. Good morning. This is your announcer, Beth Lynch, seated just off the chancel of St. John's on this, the second Sunday of Easter. As this commentary leads you through our worship service, we hope you will feel as if you are here with us in person. Our order of worship this morning is Divine Service 2, as found on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our processional hymn, Good Christian Friends Rejoice and Sing, hymn number 129 in Lutheran Worship.
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. Good to be with all of you this morning for worship. It's the second Sunday in Easter, and we will be following the order of service as it is printed before you. Now, before I get too far into the service, one thing I noticed, Lois, and I meant to mention it to you at the start of the service. I know that my Redeemer lives. Hymn 264 is the sermon hymn. There's eight verses. Do we want to do the eight, or we want to do the 1, 2, 4, and eight, or whatever it is we do?
5, 3, 4, and 5, 3, 8.
Okay, because we're going to run short. All right. Good idea. All right, so we're going to do 1 through 4 when we get to the sermon part. Okay? All right, so it's not a glitch. The only thing in the bulletin that I noticed. Okay? So we'll continue with the brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God in his mercy has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Let us pray together the prayer of the day. We pray. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The lector this morning is Karen Schaefer. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through her.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 4. Verses 32 through 35. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 133 as printed in your worship bulletin.
How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity.
It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard,
down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion.
For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore.
The second reading is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
We confess our faith together now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat. We'll sing hymn 264, verses 1 through 4.
Join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, hymn number 264 in Lutheran Worship. This is your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text I chose for this morning's sermon is taken from St. John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, verses 19 through 31. That's the Gospel reading Karen just read for us a few moments ago. Some days, there are just those days where we just want to close the blinds, shut the doors, stay in the comfy pajamas, and just call it good. Do you know what I'm talking about? Those days. Those days where you just want to avoid the circumstances. Those days where, I don't know, you just had enough. I know you know what I'm talking about. Every one of us in some way or another has had a day like that. The trying experiences, the difficult stuff has us sometimes wanting to just lock in and lock out. And sometimes it's just because we've had enough, but other times there's maybe a little bit more behind it. Maybe there's fear that's working in us. Maybe there's anxiety that just has us avoiding. Maybe there's a little bit of despair that we feel. This feeling that there's nothing left. Or, so it seems on the surface, anyway. And you know, as I thought about this, I couldn't help but to think of the disciples on that first week after Easter. I think that's a little bit of what they were feeling. We've heard this account, this gospel account. It comes up every year. It's the same gospel reading for series A, B, and C. Every year. We know this account so very well, but I think we can relate to it. See, for those disciples, they had just watched their teacher die, their best friend. And now everything that they had hoped for, it seemed impossible for them. Everything that they longed for, everything that they had envisioned was now just was just seemingly a memory. They feared the future. They feared life. They wondered if the same very things that happened to their teacher and their friend were going to happen to them. And so they locked in. And they locked out. See, they left the tomb of Jesus and they entered their own kind of darkness. Of fear. Doubt. Maybe even some blindness. They barricaded themselves in a room. And that room essentially became their tomb. They closed the door to faith. They shut their eyes to the words and the promises that Jesus had given to them. Because they did, I suppose, in a sense, there was no openness then to life being different, the possibility of life being different. But you see, friends, the reality was, life was different. And while they were locked in and while they were locked out, life was happening around them. They were just missing out in those moments. You see, the tomb was empty. Jesus was alive. And there was no changing that. There was no turning that back. He rose for them, just as He said. And you know what else? He rose for you and me. His resurrection was just as much for those disciples as it is for you and for me, a people who sometimes find ourselves locked behind doors because of anxiousness. Because of fear and doubt. His resurrection means everything. His resurrection changes everything. His resurrection means for you and me and those disciples hope for the future. It means light in darkness, life in death, faith in fear. Life is different. Life is different for you and me, all because of the resurrection. Jesus died. Jesus rose. The tomb is empty. You know, like those disciples, here you and me are. 1 week out from Easter. Did you catch that part in the gospel that Karen read? 1 week later, there was Thomas. Here we are. 1 week out from the resurrection. And while you and I can be a people who so easily say and just kind of rolls off of our tongues, the resurrection matters. We're resurrection people. It makes all the difference. While we can say that so easily, sometimes the truth is we struggle with it. Right? I think we do sometimes. How easily we can, just like those disciples, lock in and lock out. What are some of those things? What are some of those things that have us sometimes locked in and locked out? Maybe we're consumed by fear. Maybe we're consumed by worry, anxiety. Maybe it is a doubt. We wonder. Maybe what's got us locked behind a door is a wound. A past wound that is so, so deep. Maybe we wonder if there's any chance of healing. New life. Can we come back from it? Maybe it's grief. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff, isn't there? There's a lot of stuff that can have us feeling locked in and locked out sometimes. But here's the thing. Here's something we learn from the gospel. Jesus can break into locked doors. He can. Jesus can break into locked doors. Did you catch that? And that's just what He wants to do for you and for me. He wants to break in. He wants to enter those places with us. And He wants to enter into our hearts. And He wants to stand among us. Just as He did for those disciples on that first week after Easter. You see, friends, Jesus doesn't want us trapped. He doesn't want us locked up, dark, and afraid. He wants us to know life. He wants us to know the life that He won for us. He wants us to know the life that He secured for us. He wants us to know peace. And that's just what He gives to us. A peace. A peace to you and me. A resurrection peace, you see. A resurrection peace that opens up our eyes to see His presence, to see His power always at work. My friends, Jesus is the key. Jesus is the key to the doors that we sometimes lock ourselves behind. The resurrection reality and the peace that Jesus offers to you and me doesn't mean that we won't experience the tough stuff. It doesn't mean that we won't know trying times and hard circumstances. But having His peace, being a resurrection people as we are, enables us to live through these circumstances hopefully and confidently. Hopefully and confidently. that Jesus is able to breathe life even into the very things that seem lifeless. The doors can be unlocked. Peace be with you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored and brought to you by Kim and Tony Lorenz Martino in celebration of our first wedding anniversary and the many blessings of love and support from our family and friends.
Please stand. Thank you. We speak together the offertory. We give you but your own, and any gifts we bring, all that we have is yours alone, a trust from you, our King. May we your bounties thus, as stewards true receive, and gladly, Lord, as you bless us, to you our first fruits give. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please also include Seal Rowell's friend Patricia, who is having some health issues. Carol Coffid's sister Marianne, who also is having some health issues. For Kim Thiel of our congregation, who's going to be having some surgery tomorrow. For Don Lynch from our congregation, who will be having some surgery this week. For Kathy Lang's daughter, Jim Kless's sister Wendy, who was diagnosed with breast cancer. And we'll be having some surgery at the end of the month. For Harold Hutchinson, who's going to be having some tests, cardiac tests done tomorrow. So please keep Harold in your prayers. And also for a friend of Pam Bloom, her name is Gloria, who recently lost a dear friend by the name of Arlene. She's having a tough time. Arlene was also a friend of Pam's. So please keep Pam and Gloria in your prayers as they mourn the death of their friend Arlene, that they might find hope and comfort in the resurrection. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, as you gather us together on this first day of the week, that your risen Son may come among us, and with his gifts of forgiveness and peace, grant us faith to receive him in joy, that having fellowship with him, we might share in his eternal fellowship with you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, as your Son breathed out the Holy Spirit on his disciples, let your Spirit rest also upon this church, that we may serve you in accordance with your word. Be with the Seitz, Setter, Schaefer, Sharp, and Shields families, and all others from our congregation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, as your Son in mercy invited Thomas to touch his wounds that he might not disbelieve but believe, have mercy on all those who struggle with similar doubts and overcome them with your truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, as you sent your Son to save what was lost, forsake not those who have forsaken you. According to your mercy, work through us to seek out those who have wandered from your fellowship, that they might walk once more in your light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, as you have established worldly authorities to uphold the rule of law and maintain the public good, grant wisdom to all leaders, remembering especially this day Donald, our president, and all those serving in our armed forces, especially Tracy and William from our congregation, that our communities may be ordered in peace and flourish in wholesome industry. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, as you have brought us into fellowship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, sustain all those who suffer in body or mind with the truth of your presence with them. Remembering especially before you this day, we pray for Patricia and Mary Ann, for Kim, for Don, for Wendy, for Harold. We pray for Gloria and Pam as they mourn the death of their good friend Arlene. We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. Hear their cries for help and heal them in accord with your good purposes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you give us your word for our spiritual nourishment. Bless the St. John's Cafe group as they fellowship with each other and gather around your word. Open the hearts and minds of all gathered so that bonds might be cultivated and faith strengthened. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, you have called us to serve and care for others. We thank you for the work of the Lutheran Service Society in our community and beyond. Continue to bless their work with parents, the elderly, the disabled, and those with personal struggles. Send your Spirit upon the staff, giving them wisdom and strength as they seek to be your presence. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. closing is hymn number 126. And because we're about 15 minutes early, we are going to sing all 8 verses. So get ready. Here we go.
Our recessional hymn this morning is At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing, hymn number 126 in Lutheran Worship. Have a seat, please. That wasn't so bad. That's such a pretty hymn, isn't it? We sing that every year at the Easter Vigil on Saturday, and that hymn is broken up and becomes really part of the communion liturgy because it is so fitting for that part of the service on the vigil. So very, very pretty hymn. So thanks for playing and singing so beautifully. It's good to be with all of you. Welcome to you, even though you're here all the time. Welcome, and welcome to guests and visitors who are here with us today. I do hope that you have been blessed as well. Just a quick couple of things before you go. I do have time I have to buy here for the radio, so... That's the thing, right? I mean, you come after, we were here last week, and it's long. It's long, even though I told you it was going to be 45 minutes in the sermon. It's long, right? But we see over 200 people with communion, and that just takes time
to do, but it's the best thing in the world, man. I live for Easter Day. I really do. To see this place the way that it looks and to have all those people come to the table to see, it's just remarkable. So while it is long, it doesn't get any better than that as far as I'm concerned. But then you come to Easter too, and it's a non-communion week. The lessons are fairly short. The service is kind of simple, and here we are finishing 15 minutes early. I finished even earlier last night, which I think they liked. But anyway, again, you know, after Easter, I said thank you to everybody, but I want to repeat that just one more time because there were so many people who had their hands in the work that we were able to accomplish in the Spirit's power last week. If I added correctly, which I probably didn't, we saw from Thursday to Sunday morning, I think some 562 people in our place, and that's just beautiful to think about from Thursday to Sunday. And that doesn't include our count from the Seder meal. We had probably close to 65 or so at the Seder meal on that Wednesday of Holy Week. So just a wonderful, beautiful week. And so thank you to you for being here and being a part of all of it. I just have to say there were two people who rolled the marathon with me. Barb Perry and John Huey did every part of Holy Week, every service. Right to the elders meeting. And then John sends me a text message on Monday night and he says, "What happened? I thought we were riding a marathon together." And I said, "No, I check out after Easter Sunday." So forgot to tell you that part. The boss said, "I'm not expecting you there." So But anyway, thank you to all of you for being a part of it. Again, thanks to Lois and the choir, the praise band, to Sharon for taking care of the flowers, and Betty in the altar guild. I don't want to just say Betty, but all those people who served on the altar guild and made sure that we were stocked up. I don't know if you knew it or not, but we had backups in the radio room just to be safe. So there's a lot of work that goes into that. Tom, I did notice, and I didn't know if I was gonna, or the trustees were gonna see a grievance, slip, but I did notice you watered the plants this year. So, I don't know what Tony, I think, Larry, I think Tom's gonna be talking to you about this, cause the announcement always goes, "We don't water." But I noticed, so thank you. Always above and beyond, Tom. Always above and beyond. Yeah. So anyway, but Tom, the turnaround and the, you know, the services and the cleanup and all the stuff that goes with it. So thank you. Thank you. And I'm sure I'm missing people. Joe Momont. Joe played for us at the vigil on Saturday night, and he played the sunrise service for us. And, you know, not only are we blessed to have Lois has a wonderful, fantastic organist, but now we have Joe. And we're just so blessed by Joe and the gifts that God has given to you. So thanks for stepping up and helping us out, and again, in our time of need. Lots of hands make this work that we do together such a remarkable and wonderful experience. So thank you. And it's always in God's power that we do it. So, and to the counters. Yeah, right, Ross?
Yeah.
Mike? Tony? You guys have your work cut out for you. Yeah, all right. So thanks to you guys. Again, it could keep going, but I got to stop. Quick on the announcement stuff. Realistically, but usually after Easter, things start to slow down a little bit. Maybe not so much. There's still stuff happening. There's still a lot of stuff going on here. There's a mystery dinner that's coming up, right?
On that Friday.
Next Friday. That's what I have on my calendar. It is not the 20th. It's the 13th. Originally, I think it was the 20th, yeah?
That wouldn't work for me.
Yeah.
So when is it?
It's the 13th.
I thought we moved it from the 13th to the 20th.
No. No. We moved it from the 20th to the 13th, so... That's right. And everybody, and yesterday people were asking me, Moose, well, what's the menu? What's the... It's a mystery. Come on.
It'll be fun, and it's a great fellowship.
Yeah. So it's this coming Friday. This coming Friday, okay? From 6 to 9, and it's right here. So there's a sign-up sheet. Get your name on the sign-up sheet if you're interested in being a part of that. What was I saying? Oh, over the last couple of weeks, we've been asking and putting out requests for your faith stories. That's still an option, and that's still something that you would like to do. Please get your faith stories to me. I've received a number of them from you, so thank you for that. But there's still time. We hope to have it produced for Pentecost this year, connection with the youth confirmation. So if you want to share something with me, you can send it to me in an email. You can send it to me. You can give it to me handwritten, whatever is easiest for you. If you don't want to put your name to it, that's fine too. All right. If you just want to share anonymously, that's perfectly fine. Whatever you want to do. So get those to me as soon as you can. All right. I think that's good enough for announcements. Is there anything else that I'm not thinking of or that I'm forgetting? Oh yeah, take the flowers because. But Tom rose up, and you know, but no more. That's it. So take them. But seriously, yeah, get them out of here. All right. So if yeah, no, I don't mean that nasty, but just yeah, get them out. I plucked them this morning because they were dead ones, you know, and they were. And this place represents life. Thank God for that. Who said that? There's no hyacinths. Thank God for that. Yeah. All right. Yeah, your house. Yeah. All right. So yeah, take the flowers. Okay. All right. I think that got us pretty good, Lois. We good? You good? Can you? Do you want to? Do you guys want to sing the last four? I didn't think so. Sorry. Have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcasts. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. This is your announcer, Beth Lynch, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.